Let's begin.
This is the boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
It is fantastic to fire it up again. I'm sitting next to the Monday Night Delight. Carla Dawson, how are you?
Christmas in July. We got a big night.
Big night, because later we're going to interview Charles Haley.
Oh, my gosh. I'm
Hall
like
of Famer.
Fanning off right now.
Well, of course, he had
and Warren Moon.
Several great years with the 49ers and several great years with the Cowboys.
So he kind of takes care of both of us, which is great.
And then, of course, yes, Warren Moon will be joining us.
Oh, my gosh.
And he is another Hall of Famer. This is a Hall of Fame night.
Yes, I'll take it.
And not just because Jose's behind the glass, although that adds something to the night.
Yes, it does.
How are you guys doing?
Better now. You're here, Jose.
What was your last week?
Well, I know, and I was good last week when you were here. Just go with it.
Well, the excitement, of course, getting a Charles Haley, getting a Warren Moon, of course. Training camps are opening. I can feel the NFL in the
You've
air.
You've got some new energy. I can see it.
Oh,
you
yes.
You are so NFL. You're Mr. NFL. You love it.
Well, we've had all kinds of activity in the NBA for the last few weeks. That seemingly has slowed down for a little bit, although there are a few pieces that could still fall. And we've got the MLB trading deadline coming up July 31st. So some teams need to make some moves, and we'll get to unpack that next segment.
Sounds good. I'm ready.
I mean, when I go back and think about the last 2 years at least, and you could go back even further, certainly Verlander put the Astros over the top. That was a trade the Astros made 2 years ago.
They did it at the August deadline.
That's true. There was a different deadline. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when you look at the Red Sox last year, getting Nathan Eovaldi was a very big pickup. Now, he was sort of under the radar relative to Verlander. Eovaldi was not the big-name pitcher, but he was instrumental in that Red Sox championship. So it just shows the value of picking up pitching, especially right at the deadline, and we're now sitting about a week away from what might be the big determinant on who takes the World Series this year.
And I don't think Eovaldi's not back right now in Boston's lineup yet, right? He's had some injury issues.
He is on the cusp of returning. They're going to put him in at the reliever position, so he
That's
will
right.
return
back in.
Very closely. All right, when we come back, we'll look at the MLB trade line deadline activity. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, so we know you. You watch every sporting event, beginning to end, the whole thing. The Hall of Fame induction, a great day for MLB yesterday.
55,000 people were there. It was an amazing day, and it looked hot as bejesus. Did you see?
Yeah, it was hot.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was a great day. What a class.
And Mariano Rivera, to be the one guy unanimously voted in, entirely deserving, there's just no mystery about him. And to have him close out the ceremony was just perfect.
I love that he said, I'm always the last one. There is a personality in that, though.
Right.
That's pressure.
Right.
And he wants it. So he was very, I loved his humility. I loved just everyone's humility, really.
Yep.
They were all so deferential to everyone that was around them. It was really, and Roy Halladay's wife was unreal.
Well, I loved her comment.
Randy.
That he had not lived the perfect life. He had lots of imperfections, as we all do, you notwithstanding, of course.
Well,
but he had some incredibly perfect moments, incredible pitcher, great track record, certainly worthy of the Hall of Fame.
And I thought it was really cool that she and her boys decided, this is Brandy Halladay, decided not to have one team because he played for Toronto and Philly.
Yep.
And had a hat with no logos, and then the other hats I saw it had both on there because both were very instrumental in his life and career, and I thought that was really classy and really cool.
Well, sadly, he will not be available at the trade deadline, and the trade deadline is looming, And this could be a pivotal swing, because you look at in the American League, the Yankees and the Astros certainly seem like
neck and neck right now.
They are neck and neck and class of the league. And it just feels like if either of those teams goes out and gets the equivalent of a Justin Verlander, that could be the tipping point. Yet it's not clear who even is going to be available, because you got some of these teams that were seemingly sellers now in the hunt, like the Giants. Baumgartner, I might have thought
he
was
with that.
They're suddenly in the hunt. Do they trade away? It's really hard to
say. Stop in San Francisco.
Who's going to tank here and trade away assets?
Right, because Madison Baumgartner, I mean, he has been 5-7 with a 3.65 ERA until his last five starts. Now he owns a 1.55 ERA and has gotten, you know, so it's not as much as he's not just great trade bait. This could be a turnaround now for San Francisco. They're now actually in a bit of contention.
Yeah. No, they have done that. They've gotten themselves into contention. I mean, even the Indians, you know, Trevor Bauer has long been listed as one of the top pitchers who could be available. Indians are in the hunt now, too. I think it's hard to see the Indians trading away Trevor Bauer when they are. That's disrespectful to Terry Francona and what the Indians can do, have what they've done. So let's go to the Mets. They are sellers, I have to believe. Why not Noah Syndergaard? I mean, let's get him out.
Oh, my gosh. You know he would love to be out. I'm sure they are imploding. I mean, the Giants took 3 of 4 from the Mets. All 3 victories in extra innings.
Yep.
I mean, Pete Alonso yesterday, so frustrated, broke a bat like a twig over his leg. That was an amazing sight. They are so frustrated. You got Brody Van Wagenen throwing chairs in coaches' meetings. And I'll tell you, though, what worries me is that Brody Van Wagenen, you know, this is his first year as a GM.
Yep.
As a GM. And I don't know that he will part with a Noah Syndergaard or Jacob DeGrom. I don't know. I hope he does. I would love to see Noah at Thor someplace else.
Well, you'd love to see him in Astros uniform. Ooh, I know that.
Yes.
Not the Yankees, but he could be a tipping point. He is really that much of a difference maker. DeGrom, of course. I mean, Marcus Stroman of the Blue Jays is almost certainly on the market. Blue Jays are sellers. There are rumors they also trade their reliever Ken Giles. Those two guys, I mean, Stroman is a really good addition to anybody's rotation at this point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and the problem for San Francisco with Baumgartner is that Farman Zaidi was charged to turn this around for a rebuild. And now the rebuild has a big fat question mark because they're playing out of their minds.
Well, and Baumgartner, he's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. So he is a rental. So in that sense, well,
he's your Kawhi Leonard.
It's hard for the Astros and Yankees to give too much for him, but it's also hard for the Giants not to accept a lot because they might be foregoing the chance to compete this year. I mean, they are a little bit in the hunt. They're on the edge of the cusp of contention here. So it's hard for them to trade him away, and it's hard for anybody to trade too much for him because he's a rental. So I just don't see that deal getting done.
Yeah, it's in, you know, Farman Zaidi, this is his first year of president of basketball operations in San Francisco. And while his contract does expire, and you know, this year, he'll be a free agent, just like you said. He turns 30 on August 1st, the day after the trade deadline. But San Francisco could move him to acquire, you know, much-needed assets if they truly are going to rebuild. So it is really, it's really a decision that they're going to have to make inside the front office in San Francisco.
That's why I come back to the Mets. You got Noah's.
I know.
And you've got Zach Wheeler, DeGrom. I mean, these guys, they should be traded. They just got to go. Get rid of them.
I would love it. I would love it.
I mean, there are other good players out there. There's a great reliever there in San Diego, Kirby Yates, who could be traded. But if you're sitting here in Houston, Texas, as you are, the Astros need one more starter.
They need help in the front, yes. They need another starter. Because Brad Peacock is out now until mid-August.
Right.
And he would be our 5.
Yep.
And I don't even know at that point if he's going to be able to come back. They have got to have a solid 3 or 4. I mean, I would love 2, but, you know, that's greedy. So we'll take 1. But they have got to make a move.
Yankees would like another starting pitcher. Red
Do
Sox.
Do you think the Yankees really need another? Is Severino back yet?
Well, it's all about health. That's the issue.
Well, right.
So they do have a lot of talent. But, no, I think they'd like to get one more. Red Sox now have fallen into what I might call that no man's land. Mm-hmm. They just don't look like they're going to put it together and contend this year. Yeah, I guess they could go and try to trade for relief help. But they haven't shown the team, the current team as it's constructed, doesn't warrant the Red Sox trading away future assets for the current resources.
Agreed.
It's
Agreed.
Almost like this World Series hangover has just been too much.
Yeah, they can't seem to get over it. They're very inconsistent.
So
they're for the talent that they have,
well,
top
yeah.
to bottom.
And look, they're bringing Uvalde back. Uvalde will be a reliever who actually will be playing, I guess, next week. And he's a great addition to that total team of pitching. But Chris Sale hasn't pitched like Chris Sale.
No.
David Price has been inconsistent.
Same.
Porcello has been a big disappointment. Mm-hmm. And Edgar Rodriguez, he's been inconsistent as well. So that lineup of pitchers, just too disappointing, hard to back this year. And sometimes you just think, well, this is a window where you could trade away a salary or two, get some new young pieces, and reposition for the following year.
There you go.
We shall see. But it will be, I mean, we're now sitting with about 8 days left. What we're talking about nearly every day is pitching. There's some other good
really
position players that are out there. Scooter Jennett of the Reds is a guy who some people will certainly want to consider to add to their team. Astros have been whispers that they're going to go pick up a catcher, of all things. And I know that they need some more offensive productivity out of the position, but I still think the bias has to be pitching.
I do, too. I think you don't even think about anything else until you've exhausted all of your options at pitching. And boy, would I love to see Thor in a Astros uniform. Noah Syndergaard.
All right, you heard it from the gloss.
True.
The gloss has called him out.
I've called
she
him.
Wants
Come
the Thor
Noah.
In Houston.
I
might note, most of the female population seems to want Thor here in Houston.
Imagine
Noah
that.
Syndergaard.
It's like Fabio.
Yeah, bring on Fabio the chef.
Italian, love God, whatever he is.
He's the one you've picked out, have you not?
I have.
Okay,
he looked just great in those Astros uniforms.
Very good. I understand. We respect that, I guess.
Thank you.
Somewhat. All right. When we return, we're going to take a look at the NFL and the training camps and the storylines that are unfolding as it's really here. Football is coming back. The NFL, gear up. Here we go. We'll be right back here on the Boston Gloss SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Prepare for summer road trips. Before you head out, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you hit the road will ensure a safe journey during the summer months ahead. That's O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices. Every day. Okay, it's a wonderful moment when the world of sports and fashion collide.
Which they seem to quite often now.
Well, they seem to whenever I look at you. You are the gloss, and you know all things sports. And recently, well, Sports Illustrated came out with its list of the top 50 most fashionable athletes. And given your fashion sense, given that you are the gloss, given that well, you are who you are in all things. It just seems
this could scare our listeners away. We should probably stop.
It just seems appropriate to get your commentary and review on some of these names, okay? The number one top fashion savvy person in the world of sports this year, Serena Williams.
I like it.
You like the pick?
Oh, I do.
She's got some
sass.
She owns
it. She just owns everything about her body, her strength, her power. She does a lot of color. She's got it going on.
Okay.
I love it.
All right.
I give it major thumbs up. She's
number two. I can use, well, it's just three letters. OBJ.
And I'll give you two on the front cover of GQ this month.
Yeah, he made
it. So clearly, they got that right.
OBJ, number two. Yeah, it was a nice coincidence, right?
Yes.
He's on the cover of GQ. That certainly validates him.
He's got his cross earring. It's, you know, showing it all up. Looking good.
All right, let's go to three and four. I'm going to couple these two. Sort of interesting they're combined here. Number three, Russell Westbrook. Number four, James Harden.
It's going to make for some interesting press conferences coming next season, right?
Yes, the two of them together.
These two are colorful.
It'll be a dress-a-thon. They can compete. Who dresses better? It's a pretty impressive group. Okay, let's go to number five, Dwayne Wade. Yeah, this is sort of a street cred thing. I mean, he's always been considered a snappy dresser. This is more on his reputation.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Number six, Maria Sharapova, always a looker.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong there. Number seven, Lewis Hamilton of Formula One. Number eight, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Number nine is the king.
You know what that did? It was the tuxedo shorts. Remember that from the finals? Not this year, but last year with the Warriors. He was sporting the suit with the shorts.
LeBron?
The Bermuda suit.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
And you remember it well.
I do remember it. It was quite something.
Okay. I got number 10 for you. No surprise here. He had to be fitted in here somewhere.
No surprise.
Tom Brady.
Yeah. Classic. Yeah. James Bondish. You know, he's got it going on.
Remember, he had that one strange outfit he wore to the Met Ball one year. But for the most part, he's done a good job.
You do remember that.
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
The one that I'm disappointed about, though, I love me some Cam Newton.
Cam Newton.
Press conferences, post-game, they are always entertaining.
Always a snappy hat. Yeah. Well, he finished in the mid-teens, but that is sort of low for a man of his outlandish taste.
Right. And he always has a little tude to go with whatever he's wearing, too. It kind of works together.
Always got it going.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the teams are about to have it going. NFL training camp's breaking out, and it's an exciting window. It is fun to see it unfold. Of course, there are these looming contract issues. The Cowboys are dealing with a big one with Zeke Elliott. Now, I don't want it to get lost here. Elliott has two more years.
Two.
That the Cowboys have rights to him.
Yeah.
And he's played for three, and it's a four-year rookie deal, but they have the right to option the exercise for the fifth year because they took him in the first round. And yet, the word coming out of Dallas is that Elliott is saying if he doesn't get a new deal, he may not show up to training camp. That is troublesome because he is just core to everything the Cowboys do. I just think it's unfortunate we're sitting here in a world where there is a contract. The CBA set it up this way. He was taken number four overall. He was slotted a rookie deal.
High for a running back. Let's be clear about
it
that.
It is.
You know, it's unusual this year. The first running back taken was Josh Jacobs by Oakland from out of Alabama, like at number 25.
Yep, deep into the 20s.
So Zeke Elliott already got a boon by being taken number four as a running back in that position.
That's right. He's been paid more than a lot of these guys.
He has.
And they have two more years yet. So really, the leverage, it would seem, is with the team. But on the other hand, if Elliott is to hold out, it would certainly undermine that team. I mean, they are a team that has a ton of talent on the field. As a Cowboys fan, I don't want to get carried away, but I think this is the most talented team they've had since the Jimmy Johnson era.
Oh, on paper, for sure.
On paper. And Elliott is key and core to everything they do, and he knows it. And so his holding out could unravel the season or get him off to a bad start.
Although I would say, taking exactly what you said, and I agree with you, I mean, their offensive line is fantastic.
Yep.
The defense is the best that it's been in years. They have a receiving core. I mean, Jason Witten even came back, but they've added great receivers. I mean, Dak's got a lot of weapons. So I would say, yes, they look fantastic. And even though Elliott rushed for over 1,400 yards last season, they've got enough pieces in place that if he decides to do that holdout with 2 years left on his contract, they're not going to go in the tank. You know, the issue that I have with Elliott, it's not his game. He is a star. Do not get me wrong. It's his character, which leads to these off-field issues. Like, for example, he's had five incidents on the police blotter since 2016. He missed six games with that suspension. He was just in the NFL office, quote, visiting with Roger Goodell, getting a little wrist slap, like, please don't punch a security guard again when it's on video. So to me, if I'm Dallas, I'm like, yes, your on-field performance is money. And that's why we took you where we did at number four. But I can't trust you. You have not proved yourself to me yet. You're not learning from this stuff. You have incident after incident. And you miss important on-field time.
Well,
so do I extend you now, 2 years early? I don't think so.
Well, that video of him and wandering late into the night around the campgrounds there at Vegas and all the old being taken away. He just looked like a drunk wandering around.
And he probably was.
Bumping into people. Who knows what he was up to? And then he finally got himself into trouble. Going back to Roger Goodell.
And handcuffed and arrested.
Yes.
It wasn't just someone caught him on camera.
Oh, come on now. Handcuffs.
Hey, you know, whatever. But this is what I'm saying. He's going to do what he's going to do.
Yep.
But then don't expect that you've got a team that's going to bend backwards for you, make an exception, and give you an extension 2 years early when you have not proven that you can be on the field when they need you and that you can be trusted, that you're not going to do this kind of dumb stuff continually.
Well, 2 years ago.
5 times on the police blotter.
Right. And his six-game suspension, the suspension that was on and off and then on and off and then finally was a full 6 games, really unraveled the season 2 years ago. Just consistency is key. But I want to go back to Roger Goodell because this week he ruled on the Tyreek Hill incident.
And he did not rule on it is basically what you're saying.
Well, it's amazing to me the inconsistencies there because it would seem to me that Hill has done everything and there was just as much evidence as Ezekiel Elliott when he got his 6-game suspension.
If not more.
If not more. I mean, we're talking a kid here, right?
Yes.
And somehow Hill is going to be playing for the Chiefs, and the Chiefs team has said, we're delighted that he's coming back. Well, of course they are for his talent on the field, but this was a surprise to me. Has Goodell gone soft?
Yes. Well, what Goodell has gone is inconsistent.
Well, because, that's true.
Yes, he was. I wouldn't even say soft on Tyreek Hill. He went completely Stevie Wonder. He went blind on Tyreek Hill. I'm not kidding. And
right.
Then today, suspends Jaron Reed of the Seattle Seahawks, the defensive tackle, who is a key piece of their defense. It really doesn't matter what piece they are for these teams, frankly. But Jaron Reed was not arrested. There were no formal charges. There are domestic violence allegations from 2017, and he's suspended for 6 games. And I'm not saying that shouldn't have happened. I think when there is enough reasonable cause, there needs to be something in place. But how in the world can you do that and then welcome Tyreek Hill back with open arms to the Chiefs after he is – we have audio tape. There is audio tape out for anyone to listen that basically his ex-fiancée now says that his son is terrified of him. And he's like, yeah, well, you should be, 3-year-old son. And you dumb bleep, should be too. And the kid has a broken arm and the NFL is saying – well, we're not sure he broke it.
There's no other plausible explanation for what happened at the moment, right? So if you're a Seahawks fan, too, I mean, Reed is a key part of the defense.
Yes, he is.
He's out for 6 games, and the Chiefs are going to line up perhaps the speediest wide receiver in the NFL. Just hard to fathom. Now, I think in the new CBA, they're likely to take away this idea that every decision has to be Roger Goodell's, that he is the judge and jury, the one who does all the sense. It just makes no sense that he alone has this kind of power.
No, it's not funny.
Right.
But it's laughable at how bad this is.
Right. For a league so big, so grand, so many dollars, so many resources that they put all in the one hand of the one man, and then he administers justice very inconsistently.
Because you look at this Tyreek Hill situation, and the 3-year-old son has a broken arm, and we've got him threatening the ex-fiance, and we also have the district attorney's office having the son under the care of child services because they don't believe he's safe. Now, where in the world does Roger Goodell look at this and say, oh, but we don't really see any issues here? So then you go back even further to 2014, where Tyreek Hill was arrested and pleaded guilty to abuse of the same woman when she was 8 weeks pregnant with this 3-year-old. And she arrived at the ER. She had cuts and bruises on her face and neck. She was thrown to the ground by Hill while he apparently punched her in the stomach when she was 8 weeks pregnant with the same boy. So there has already been a precedent. And he admits, he says, he has some crazy quote like, oh, I let my emotions get the best of me. He admits it. I did something I shouldn't have done. I let my feelings take control of me. Roger, precedent. There was a precedent. Same woman, same guy. And now you've got a threat, a verbal threat that we can all hear. Yet apparently Roger thinks this is just a one-off. We don't have to worry. So the shield, who is the shield protecting? Not the women and children who need it. That's for sure.
All right, you heard it from the gloss. Hey, when we come back, we're going to get to visit with Warren Moon, a real treat.
All right.
I want to ask him about the development of Deshaun Watson from one former Houston quarterback to the current Houston quarterback.
I love it.
Let's get Warren Moon's thoughts on Deshaun Watson when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carla, let's talk travel because most of us do a little travel throughout the year. How are you booking your hotel rooms? I got a suggestion for you. You got to go to besthotelrates.com. Best Hotel Rates has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide and extended these discounts to you. Simply go to besthotelrates.com, plug in your destination dates of travel, and voila, you're looking at a discounted rate for many of the hotels that you would pay much more for somewhere else. Save your money and book your hotels through besthotelrates.com. Besthotelrates.com. That's the answer.
Gonna do it.
You got it. All right. We are waiting for Warren Moon, but while we do, Seahawks did get a big setback with this suspension today.
Yes, they did.
Because they're a team that's poised. They've got a lot of talent on that roster. Russell Wilson is certainly grooving right now. They played better last year than they seemingly were planning to. They lost a lot of resources on that team, and they were poised there. I mean, they're certainly a team that were on the short list to contend in their division. I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty that NFC West is a tough division. Rams returning as the champs of the division. 49ers are going to be a lot better. And Seahawks certainly have a chance to contend and really put some pressure on the Rams.
And defensive lineman Jaron Reed was a big focal point on their defense. And he's suspended 6 games. So I do want to ask Warren about that when we get him.
Well, we've got him. And joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is Hall of Famer Warren Moon. Warren, you're on with David and Carla.
How are you guys doing today?
It's always better when you're with us. This is great.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a long time, I know.
Nice to be back on with you. And I'm in Houston all the time because I have four of my kids still live there and grandkids, so I'm always visiting down there. But it's great to be on with you guys.
Well, come in and see us next time.
I will definitely do it.
Well, since we are in Houston and we are thinking a lot about Deshaun Watson, would love to get your perspective on his development now.
You know, I think it's been great. I think the way Bill has handled him since he's come into the league, kind of molded that offense to do the things that he did best in college, and that's why I think he had such great success early. He had some good weapons around him, which always helps a young quarterback, good running game. The offensive line really took a step back last year, and he got beat up a lot, so hopefully that's much more improved this year. Because the only setback for him has been, you know, the major knee injury that he had in that first year, but he seems to bounce back from that and will probably be better this year, the second year after coming back from an ACL injury. So I look for big things for Deshaun this year.
And let me take you back, Warren, to one of your old teams, the Seahawks. So they had a little bit of a setback today with the suspension of defensive lineman Jaron Reed. 6 games handed down from the NFL. There were no former charges. There charges filed, no arrest, and he got 6 games. What does this mean to the Seahawks?
You know, that's a huge blow because Jaron was coming into his own last year. I think he had his best year. He had 8 sacks. He was a guy that was up for a big contract extension coming up here, and he's a guy who had a chance to make the Pro Bowl maybe this year. Mm-hmm. And he was somebody stepping into the role of some of those guys that left, like Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill. They thought he was going to be the next guy to fall in place on that defensive line as not only a good player, but also a leader. So now to not have him for 6 games, that's a big blow to their defensive line because, again, he was going to be one of the more dominant interior players coming into this season, and now they're not going to have him for 6 games.
Does it give you any cause to pause? David and I were trying to just figure out what is going on. Jaron Reed gets 6 games, yet Tyreek Hill is going to open training camp and start it, and wow, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm really a little surprised by that, but I guess the NFL has done their investigations on both of those particular cases, and you don't have to be arrested anymore by the police, or it doesn't have to go to law enforcement before the NFL can come down with their own conduct penalties. So I guess what they looked at with Tyreek Hill, there wasn't enough there for any suspension, and with Jaron Hill, Jaron Reed. I think they must have found more than necessary to suspend him for 6 games. And 6 games is a lot because most of these guys have gotten you know, two games, three games, four games. But for him to have gotten six games, they're trying to send some type of message.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Hall of Famer Warren Moon. So, Warren, you played into your 40s, and we're looking at quarterbacks now, Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, who are playing well into advanced ages. What's it like to play late in your career? Do you see the field better? What makes these guys so good at this point in their career?
Yeah, that's the main thing. They've seen everything that you could possibly see as far as defenses. They've been in their offenses for a long period of time. You know, Phillip's been with one team his whole career. Tom Brady's been with one team. Drew Brees has basically been with New Orleans probably now the last 12, 13 years. So when you get ingrained into an offense where you really have that command of it, and then you've also seen every defense that you could possibly see, the game becomes a lot more slower to you. So the main thing is you just have to take care of yourself, and those guys all do. They have great training regimens. The way the game has changed now and how they're protecting the quarterback, so you can't really get big hits on them anymore, that's going to keep these guys around a little bit longer. So you add the combination of the knowledge of the offense, of the knowledge of the defense, protecting the quarterback and taking care of yourself, you can play a lot longer today than you did back in the days when I was playing, when the game was a little bit more physical.
So let me ask you about a younger quarterback, Dak Prescott. What would you most like to see him do or do better this year?
I think the thing I'd like to see him is coming off to his second and third reads when the first read isn't open, or the second read isn't open, to be able to go through his full progression. And he's got a good enough offensive line to get that done because they give him pretty good protection. And I think he'll probably start to do some more of that this year, because you got to remember, Dak is a developing passing quarterback. He wasn't a passing quarterback coming into the league out of Mississippi State. And he passed the ball a lot there, but he also ran the ball a lot there. So he's still developing as a quarterback, and I think he's going to take that next step this year. And having an offensive line that can give you that protection to go through that progression is really going to help you. And then he's really got some good receivers now that are going to help make his job a little bit easier as a distributor.
All right, speaking of big-time receivers, let's look at the Browns for a minute. They add OBJ, they've got Jarvis Landry, they've got all these big personalities on that team. How tough a job does Freddie Kitchens have keeping them on track?
You know, it's going to be tough, but I think Freddie has the right temperament. If you've listened to him as a coach, he's really laid back. I think he's more of a player's type of coach. He's going to listen to these guys. He's going to understand what each of them needs. He's not going to try and treat them all the same, because you can't do that with any team, because you got 53 different personalities on that team. But like you said, this team has some really strong personalities. So you're going to have to really communicate with these guys on an ongoing basis. And just if you keep those lines of communication open with these guys and always are listening to what they have to say and listening to what maybe some of their gripes might be, I think you can take care of any little problems that might come along. If you kind of just let things fester and go along, that's when you're going to have the problems, and you're going to have some blowouts by some guys.
We're talking to Hall of Famer Warren Moon. Okay, let me ask you about Patrick Mahomes for a minute. I don't know if you saw that video where he was able to throw the ball from the field over the wall, out of the over the stadium wall. Now, you were notorious for having a strong arm. Were you ever able to do that?
I don't think I would ever try anything like that, David. I think everybody knows how strong Patrick's arm is, because when he came out of college, some of the things that he was doing during his pro workouts, he can probably throw the ball close to 90 yards from one end zone almost down to the other one. But there's no reason for him now, as the reigning MVP in the league and really has established himself, to try and do those type of antics out there. He doesn't have anything he needs to prove. And the only thing he could have did in doing something like that was maybe injure himself by straining his arm by trying to get that ball out of the stadium. So I'm glad nothing like that happened. But he doesn't need to do things like that anymore. He's a legitimate starting quarterback in this league. He's the reigning MVP, as I said, and he's going to be one of the guys that probably has a chance to do it back-to-back.
So, Warren, asking another quarterback question for you. Kyler Murray, you know, taken number one in the draft, Heisman Trophy winner, small in stature. You know, I've seen other small quarterbacks, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, who are smaller in stature. How do you think Kyler Murray is going to do, A, with Arizona, and B, just getting into the NFL?
You know, the thing that's good about Kyler is he's going to be going into an offense that he's very familiar with, mm-hmm. That he ran in college. So that's going to help him. He's got a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, who's a perennial All-Pro, as one of his wide receivers that's going to help him. And this kid is very, very talented. He's going to have his limitations because of his height. Just like Russell Wilson, he runs into problems sometimes where he just can't see what's going on, especially right in front of him or down the middle of the field because of his height. But because they do have the ability to move and they do have the ability to find those openings and those gaps that you need to find as a quarterback, he's going to make some big, big plays, and he's going to miss some because he just won't have that vision at times. So I think the kid is going to be very successful. They still have a little ways to go in Arizona because they're still rebuilding that football team. But if they can protect him and give him a little bit of time, and if David Johnson comes back and plays well this year, which will give him some help in the running game, I think Tyler's going to have a pretty solid rookie season as they build that football team.
We're talking to Hall of Famer Warren Moon. I've got about a minute left. The other rookie quarterbacks, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins. Were you surprised the Giants took Jones so early, and how did you compare him to Haskins?
I was a little surprised by that. But, you know, every team has what they're looking for in the quarterback that they want, and it's not always all about talent. Sometimes it's about personality, how you think he's going to fit into your organization. I think Daniel Jones is a lot like Eli Manning, so I think they like that in their quarterback. So that's probably one of the reasons why they picked him. He's also very athletic, more athletic than you think, maybe a little bit more athletic than Dwayne Haskins. But I think both teams did very well. I think Dwayne went to a good spot going to the Redskins, and I think Daniel Jones is going to fit in well behind Eli Manning. You get a chance to play behind a guy who has done it in this league, won two Super Bowls. And I think they have a history because they were both coached by the same college coach, Cutcliffe. And so I think all those things had something in common on the reason why they drafted him over Dwayne Haskins.
NFL Man of the Year, Warren Moon in 1989. Warren, thank you so much for joining David and Carla here on SB Nation Radio.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it and look forward to the next time.
Sounds great. Thanks, Warren.
Okay, take care.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carla, I know that you're not a huge moviegoer, but there is a movie coming out I think you're going to have to see. It's called Hustlers. It's coming out.
Okay, I'm not
September
even
going to
ask why you're suggesting that. I don't know.
Well,
if I mean,
there's a lot of dancing. We know you like to go to hip-hop class.
Well, that's right. And my class is actually called Hustle. No lie.
Well, I don't know that you want to be in this movie. It's about some women who are pole dancers.
Yeah, maybe not that one.
Maybe not that one. No. It's got an all-star lineup. It's the, Constance Wu. She was in Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, I love her.
Jennifer Lopez. Cardi J-Lo. B.
Cardi B?
Yeah. I mean,
Get out.
Look, if you're going to watch The Bachelorette, you could watch this movie.
Well, yeah, I'm in. I'm in.
But here's the interesting thing. Lopez, well, she needed to go to one of these establishments to sort of do her homework so she could do a better job in the movie. Seems reasonable, right?
Pole homework?
Yeah, she had to go see how pole dancing is really done. Watch it firsthand. See all the interactions, the eye movement, the whole thing.
The eye movement?
Well, I don't know.
That is one of the funniest things. But okay, yeah.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
So she went and she had to do her homework. But she didn't want to go alone. So her fiancé, A-Rod, had to go with her. Poor guy. He got dragged to the strip club.
Taking one for the team. Gotta love that. What a sacrificial lamb, right?
I mean, I thought it was really helpful for him to go with her. He wanted to just help her out, point out some things.
How nice.
So,
would you do that?
Well, let me put it this way. No, I was going to ask you. I mean,
I got you first.
You have a man friend. Do you think it would be appropriate? I mean, if you were going to go to one of these places, learn how to pole dance better, he would want to be there with you, right? Just to oversee things.
I would not
want
to walk in alone.
Sure.
I would definitely want my man friend with me. I wouldn't be walking in. I'm going to be clear on that right now. So don't even think you're walking me into that mess.
Well, your man friend hasn't gone to your hip-hop class, has he?
He's not doing that, no. He's letting me do
that. I know that you have invited Jose, and Jose's been considering going.
Jose could teach the hip-hop class. Jose,
you're
we need
me
to work
way
on getting
too
the
much
boss
credit.
There. I want to see some twerking going on.
He's
going
to need at least three bottles of Blue Emu after that.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
That's the only way to do it.
That's right.
All right. Well, I'm just delighted. I think the movie's going to be better. I think it's going to be outstanding. It's coming up September 13th, Hustlers.
Okay, lucky
it's a
13.
Must-see. Maybe the three of us, Jose, you and I, are going out to see the film.
Okay, what do you think, Jose?
I'm down.
Okay, good. Even though we look like we could be your parents, just pretend like we're all peers.
I think it's a big night out in the town. It was for A-Rod, evidently. Last, I want you to note, I don't know if you saw the news, but Howard Stern is calling for OJ's Twitter account to be shut down, suspended.
You know, Howard Stern always covering the latest and greatest. Well, very important thing.
But OJ, you know, he's back on Twitter. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. He says he's got some revenge to do.
He's
got
new to Twitter. This is kind of a new thing.
No, well, of course, Twitter wasn't even created when he went to jail.
Oh, I mean, there's that.
It's amazing now, but he's mastered it. Back living the good life, shots of him playing golf, shots of his commentary about the world. The juice is loose. He's back. All right. We will be right back, and we will take another look around the NFL with training camps opening. You're listening to the Boston Globe on ESPN Radio.